Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for accepting us in your presence. And as we share your word, we pray that you will speak to our hearts and that these words will transform us so that we may go out and make the world like you, like your kingdom. Thank you for the presence of your spirit. Thank you for the gift of these scriptures. And thank you for the gift of interpretation. We thank you. And we are ready to receive and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you here. I've been absent for a couple of weeks, and I'm glad to be back here at Gomaville, the place to be. Tell your neighbor, Gomaville is the place to be. You need to say it like you believe it. Don't say like, I'm not sure it's the place to be. You are sure. You should be sure. It's great to be back and to have the privilege today to share a few words from the Word of God. And I believe God is going to bless us mightily. We've had 2 weeks of campaign of teachings on John the Baptist evangelism campaign. And I hope many of you have had an opportunity to participate. So today we are going to talk about transformation. How do we get transformed in order to transform? How do you get transformed in order to transform others? And that will be our way of bringing a close to this 2 weeks long campaign on evangelism. Now, I want to start with a question, and I want to borrow your mind in this imagination. I want you to imagine a table. Everyone has seen a table, okay? Who has not seen a table? You've never seen a table in your life. So all of us have seen a table. Okay, imagine a table. Okay? Do you have a table in mind? Please don't try to imagine this one. Imagine a different table than this one. If I asked you, I gave you the skills of a carpenter to do a table, and I gave you the means and the time, how many tables will we produce? Each of you. It's not a trick question. It's easy. How many tables will we produce? If each one of you imagined a table, we will produce as many tables as we are here. Because I'm very confident that each one of you imagined a different table. Because we've all seen tables. Some of you imagined tables that are very clean. Others, the table is not so much clean. And I want Jedidia to give us a photo picture. I want to use as an illustration to start off this sermon. I'm coughing a little bit, so if I cough to the side, please bear with me. Each one of you imagined a table, and I'm very sure that the table you imagine is not the table I imagine. And I'm sure that if I gave you the means to produce a table, all of you will produce a table according to your imagination. Can you all see this table? We can all see it. Now, I first asked you imagine a table. If I asked you look at this table, all of us have the same idea of what table we are talking about. If you were asked to describe your previous table, some of your table would have 6 places, others 10, others 1. But if we all are asked to describe this table, our description will be closer because we have the same image of the table that we are talking about. And the same question, if I gave you the means and the skills of a carpenter to go and produce this table, we will all produce almost the same table. It may be different slightly, but it will almost be the same table because we are talking about the same object. When I mention a table and I give you the image of the table that I'm referring to, all of us have the same image of what is it that we want to produce. I want to start there as we speak about transformation. When we want to be transformed, the question is not just to be transformed. The question is into what? What is the end product at the process of our transformation. Because that's what is important. If we are asked to be transformed, some of us will become things that we will not recognize. But if we say be transformed like this, we all have the same idea of what is it that we want to be transformed into. Are we together? Now, we know as Christians that we are called to a life of transformation. We are called to be transformed. But the question is of the image. What image do we have of the final person that we need to become at the end of the process of transformation? And in that regard, we are not left to guess. We are not left to imagine what kind of person we will become at the end of our transformation, because God has already given us an image. Just the way I gave you the image of the table, so that all of us can have the same idea of the kind of table I'm talking about, God has given us an image of the end product that He wants us to become. And that image is Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You cannot be transformed to be like God because God does not have an image. Actually, if you read in the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments prohibit people from imagining anything that can look like God. It's even a sin to draw God. You cannot draw God. You cannot create an image of God. So how will we become like someone who is formless, who is imageless? God has given us help by giving us Jesus Christ, who becomes the visible image of the invisible God. So the process of our transformation is the process of being like Christ, of developing Christ-likeness. That's the image we want to develop. So if I want to judge you on your progress on transformation, I need a ruler. I need a meter to measure your progress. And I will measure it against your resemblance to Christ. Amen. So if we are to evaluate any of us here, we will not use the way we speak. We will not use our body. We will see how much of Christ do you portray. How much of Christ do you show out in your life? That shows how much you've gone on the journey of transformation. And I think that is a good starting point. As we speak about transformation in order to transform others, that means we have an image that we are aiming to. We also have an image that we are bringing other people to. Because when we want to teach and evangelize, we don't tell people, be like me, but we say like Paul, be like me as I'm trying to be like who? Like Christ. So not be like Muhindo, but be like Muhindo who is trying to also become like Christ. So each of us have a mirror through which we can look our life. It is the life of Jesus Christ. And for today, I want to give you three things, three ways we can resemble Christ. Because we do not, when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, there were no photographs. So they could not take a picture of Jesus. And we do not have his picture. We don't know whether he resembled Pastor David John or Daniel Saika or me or Papa Chris here. I think he resembled me. We can use me as an illustration, isn't it? I think I look somehow like Jesus. So don't you think? He would resemble any of us. Maybe his body will not look as impressive as we would imagine, but Christ was just a spirit in the body, and the body gave him the permission and the ability to act in the world. So the body of Christ is not important because he used the body only to be able to act in the world. Your body is not that important. It's only a means through which you get to act in the world. That's why if you lose your body, we call it death. and you lose your permission to continue acting in the world. That's how you die. So Christ got the body in order to act. So what is it that was in him that we can emulate because we cannot become his body? I want to give you three things on your level of transformation that you should aim to, that if you do them, I am sure you will be on a good track to becoming like Christ. Are we ready? Tell your neighbor three things. Wonderful. The first thing that we look at is to develop the mind of Christ. Develop the mind of Christ. Let's say it together, one, two, three. Develop the mind of Christ. Let's say it louder, one, two, three. Develop the mind of Christ. The third time, one, two, three. Develop the mind of Christ. The very first thing that makes Jesus different from us is his mind, his way of thinking and reflecting. Your mind and your way of thinking is the major determinant of who you are and the kind of person you show out in the world. So if you want to be like Christ, we do not try to become Nazarenes or become Jewish people. We develop the mind of Christ. And that is not from me. Take it from Paul. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 11. Develop the mind of Christ. And Paul here is urging the people of Philippi and telling them in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 11. I'm reading from the NLT. He's saying, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. I think NIV says, you must have the same mind which was in Christ Jesus. And he says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him, exalted him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Paul here is saying, you need to have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus. And he gives us three things. He was God, but he did not consider that as a privilege to keep. But he relinquished that privilege so that he can take human form. And he took human form not to impress us, but in order to serve us and to serve God. And his exaltation comes as a result of his humility and his service. Amen. So the mind of Christ is the mind of a meek person, of a lowly spirit that seeks to serve man and serve God, and that depends on God on its exaltation. That's what we see in this text. That Jesus is God, the same way with God, but he decides to leave out all the glories and the privileges that he has to take a form that allows him to be a servant to man, to God, and as a servant to wait for God to exalt him. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not speaking complicated words. The mind of Christ is not impressing people with philosophies. The mind of Christ is not coming to a place and say, look at me, how I am very much a Christian. The mind of Christ is not counting the number of sins that you've not committed. And that's the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The mind of Christ is having that lowly spirit that puts you in a position of a servant to God and servant to other men. And that position of a servant waits for exaltation that comes from God.
So the name of Jesus that we see here is not only a name that is powerful, the name of Jesus is a reward. Amen. The name of Jesus is not just a name that is powerful, but it's a reward that God gave Jesus for his faithful service. Some of you have names. All of us have names, I believe. If you don't have a name, we can give you one. You can be Zerubbabel or Melchizedek, something. I have a name, by the way, for those who doubt. The names we have, we only carry them on our identities and passports. But is your name, has your name become a reward? Has your name become a mark of service to God and to his people? Has God made your name to become a reward, to become a platform on which other people can stand to find doors open, to find fulfillment? We see this in the life of Christ, that if we are to develop the mind of Christ, we need to develop a lowly spirit that puts us in a position of a servant to people and to God, and to wait in that lowly state for the exaltation of the Lord. That's the mind of Christ. So if I see you growing in meekness and humility, in service to God and service to man, if I see you growing in believing that only God can raise you up and put you in a position where you are able to be exalted, I can see that you are developing the mind of Christ. Transformed in order to transform. The very first thing in our process of transformation is developing the mind of Christ. Amen. Can we say it one more time? One, two, three. Develop the mind of Christ. One more time. One, two, three. Develop the mind of Christ. I will come back to it to the conclusion. The second, I told you I'd give you three things. The second thing we need to develop is develop the character of Christ. Number one, develop the mind of Christ. Number two, develop the character of Christ. If we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, verses that we know very well, it says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, love. And he says that if you develop these nine states of hearts, these nine out way of looking at living at life, you will develop the character that was found in Christ. The character of Christ is what made Christ to be the Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If we put all the fruit of the Spirit here as a meter, and we ask you to mark yourself out of 10, how much would you give yourself out of 10 to each of the nine fruits of the Spirit? How are you progressing? Are you developing love? Are you developing patience? Are you developing kindness? When we develop that, the fruit of the Spirit, we are on the journey to develop the character of Christ. And that's how we resemble Christ. First, by developing his mind, and two, by developing his character. And it's very interesting that God does calls the fruits of the Spirit. You know, a fruit is very interesting because a fruit ripes, and it ripes progressively. If you are given a fruit in its raw state, some of you will not even eat it. How many of you have eaten a mango that is not ripe? I've seen some people add salt. I see Dr. Neil has tried eating a mango that is not ripe. I tried too. It's not very good. But I give you a tip. If it happens to you, add salt. It will help to improve the taste. But the same mango that you find with a very, maybe not so good taste, give it a few weeks and go and pick that same mango when it's ripe. It becomes something delicious. Something that you can even see from far. It looks like the fruit that Adam and Eve ate. Because you are desiring it. Why? Because it has become ripe. And here they say, the nine, they are the fruits of the Spirit. That means when the Spirit of God comes into us, we start the process of ripening those fruits of the Spirit. Some of us, our love is still on the raw state. We love, but violently. Some of us, our gentleness is still in the raw state. People are not sure whether we are gentle or not, because it's not fully developed. Your meekness has days. On Monday, you are meek. On Tuesday, no. On Wednesday, you fluctuate in your fruits of the Spirit. But on the journey to becoming like Christ, we need to get to a level where the fruit of the Spirit have ripened, because that's what will attract the world. If unbelievers meet you in your raw state where your fruit of the Spirit are not ripened, they will have a question whether they are dealing with a Christian or not. Hello? But we need to work on ourselves and have the fruit so ripe that when people come, they desire to have some. They desire to develop the same kind of character that we have developed. Develop the character of Christ. And we have a ruler in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Go and measure again yourself against those. And one final thing on this point is this. The way we develop the fruit of the Spirit is not by prayer. You can't go in a corner and pray, God, give me patience. And at the end of the prayer, you come out with a lot of patience. It doesn't work. Try it and you will tell me. Have you ever seen someone who is impatient and then they start trying, be patient, be patient, be patient? It's not going to work. So what happens is that God puts us in a situation where we have an opportunity to exercise that gift. And as we are fighting to exercise that gift is ripening. An example, if God wants you to develop the spirit, the fruit of love, he will put you with a roommate who is the most unloving person you've ever met. And in the process of trying to love that person against your will, you are developing the fruit of the Spirit. There are some countries that if God wants you to teach you patience, he will send you to. One of them is the DRC. So some of you who are not Congolese, you've been sent here to practice the fruit of patience. Amen. And if Goma does not work, God will send you to Kinshasa. And you will develop the fruit of patience either by force or by... You will find a way to develop the fruit of patience. Either in traffic or at the government office. Somehow, if you go to Kinshasa, you need to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Where has God placed you? And your placement, what fruit is it calling out to? Some of you, for God to help your temper, he will give you children. And the children will knock out all your temper as you try to survive with this little one. I have developed a lot of patience with only 3 children. Now my father has 7, so I wonder what kind of patience he has. Develop the character of Christ. We said number 1 was what? Develop. Number 2, develop the character of Christ. Finally, number 3, do the acts of Christ. Do the acts of Christ. Those are our 3 D's. Develop the mind of Christ. Develop the character of Christ. Do the acts of Christ. The deeds of Christ. Do the acts of Christ. 1, 2, 3. Let's say it together. Say it like we believe it. 1, 2, 3. Do the acts of Christ. We do not only develop his mind. We do not only develop his character. But we are called to act like him. If you read in John chapter 13, where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, you'll find that it's the only place in the Bible where Jesus calls his disciple to imitate him. And he says, me as a master, I have washed your feet. How much more should you do the same to the people you serve? The acts of Christ. What are the acts of Christ? They can be summarized into acts of mercy and acts of compassion. The acts of mercy and acts of compassion. When we go out and we do the acts of Christ, Most of us think that the acts of Christ is the miracle, going and heal the sick. Those are the signs. And the Bible says those signs will follow. They will not go before. They will follow those who will believe. Some of us, we want the signs to go before, then we follow them. No, the Bible says the signs will follow. So you go first and the signs will follow you. But for the acts of Christ, we see Jesus as a merciful Savior and as a compassionate Savior. What acts of mercy and compassion are you doing in your life and around your life? Those are the acts of Christ. We can translate them in practice into giving, helping, encouraging, visiting. All those are examples, but we can summarize the acts of Christ as acts of mercy and acts of compassion. There is a place in the Bible where Jesus is said to have looked at someone with compassion. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And Jesus told him, "Have you read the text and the law, what the law says?" And the young man said, "I have obeyed all the laws." And he was right. He had obeyed all the laws. And for your information, these were 625 different laws. And he had obeyed all of them. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at him with compassion. He loved him. But then he told him, "There's one thing you are missing. You still cling to what you have. Go and sell everything. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow." He looked at what he had accomplished, but still have compassion. Our idea of compassion, I've seen, is always broken in the presence of abject poverty. When we see poor people, kids without kids, that's what we feel, oh, that's sympathy. We feel sympathetic. But can your heart be broken in a 5-star hotel where everything is clean, but you look at the people and see their depravity and you are able to have compassion? Can you have compassion towards a millionaire in US dollars? Yeah, some of you are millionaires in Congolese francs. I think I'm a millionaire in Congolese francs. I am one, especially with the rates last week. I think I got to be a millionaire. Some of you last week were promoted to become millionaires with the rate in Congolese francs. Now I'm saying millionaire is US dollars. Can you be with someone like that who has everything materially needed but still have compassion? Jesus was able to see beyond the facade that people have and have compassion and have mercy. He did it with the poor. He did it with the lowly, with the brokenhearted. He did it with the rich. He did it with all the people. Jesus could talk to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher in the law. He knew everything about the law. But Jesus could sit with him and start teaching him about being born again. That's the Christ we serve. The acts of Christ are the acts of mercy and the acts of compassion. So let's say it together. 3 things to be like Christ. Number one is what? Develop. Number 2, develop. Number 3, do the acts of Christ. Let's say 1, 2, 3. Develop the mind of Christ, develop the character of Christ, and do the acts of Christ. So in conclusion, as we go out today, I want you to learn to think like Christ. And we said developing the mind of Christ is in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, saying having that state of a servant, developing humility that allows you to serve people and to serve God, and waiting in that state of humility for God's exaltation. That's the mind of Christ. Thinking like Christ is taking a position of a servant to God and to people and waiting in that position for God's exaltation. Developing the character of Christ is developing the fruit of the Spirit. Go and measure yourself against those fruit and ask yourself, in the situation that I'm going through in my life today, what kind of fruit God is teaching me? For the Congolese in general, I think we all need to develop the fruit of faith. faith that goes against things that we see, atrocities that we see. We prayed and prayed and things have not been moving. What kind of faith is God calling us to in such situation? What kind of actions is God calling us to? Do the acts of Christ. Is your heart broken in the presence of poverty and also in the presence of abundance, in the presence of opulence, in the presence of all these things? Can your heart still be broken and show mercy and compassion? And on this final point, I will add, many times we want to show compassion to those who are outside and those who look that they need compassion and mercy. I want to give you a challenge today to show compassion to two people and mercy. The first person I want you to start showing compassion and mercy today is yourself. You need to show compassion and mercy to yourself. In Kiswahili, we say, you are also a child of someone. Uko mtoto wa watu. You are also a child of someone. You need to have mercy on yourself and compassion. It doesn't sound very nice in English, but in Kiswahili, it's very powerful. Like, you can believe me. You are someone as well. You need to show yourself mercy and compassion. The second person, the second group, category of people I want you to show mercy and compassion is the people who are closest to you. Your wife, children, siblings, the people in the office. It is very easy to show mercy and compassion to people who are far because we need them afresh. But the people who are routinely in our lives, sometimes our hearts have been hardened because of the many conflicts and challenges and burdens that we carry. And our hearts are not longer able to show them mercy and compassion. I pray that God will give us a fresh water in our hearts to show mercy and compassion to ourselves and also to our closest people around us. So as we go out, what kind of table are you going to make? For those who came late, we started with the illustration of a table. We all have now one image of what we want to Gomaville to produce. The image of Christ. Transform in order to transform. You don't transform people to become your disciples. You transform them to become Christ-likeness. And you transform them in three ways. By helping them to develop the mind of Christ. By helping them to develop the character of Christ. By helping them to do the acts of Christ. If we can do those three things, we can turn this world upside down. May God give you the grace, the strength, and the fortitude to do that. God bless you.